Hey everybody, what's going on? It's Lee Kwai Lau here in BMX Shark Art. Your favorite Twitch streamers with the number one of the top 10 podcasts in the world for streamers like yourself or just individuals that like to watch and listen to streamers. And we're bringing you something new here. I'm super excited about this because for one, I love donuts. For two, I love The Simpsons. And for three, I actually use it inside my stream deck in my audio and stuff. I love the little phrases, grew up with it my whole life. But this is going to be a special series today. I can't wait. I'm excited. This dude's a professional. Like, I could spell that word and you don't understand how important that is. It's like beyond that. He's amazing. So real quick, a shout out to Sneak Energy. We love you. Thank you so much. That's them right over there. They're awesome. BMX can't get enough of it. And we love it. Sneakenergy.com. Get your Sneak Energy. This stuff is amazing. It's so good for you. And Secret Labs, we love you. Thank you so much for our chairs and everything. We love you, Def. Keep them coming. We would love to rock more models, right, guys? We could do more models of Secret Lab chairs. Let's bring them. Bring them over. We're ready. Bring them over. Let's go. We need more chairs. BMX Secret Labs, if you're listening, BMX needs a pink chair.
Yes.
Pink chair. Let's go.
Pink or mint green, man.
For sure. So we're coming here with this amazing podcast, this amazing individual. If you guys haven't heard of him, you need to go check out I Draw Homer on Instagram. And when I say Homer, yes, I mean Simpson. So his name is actually Mike at Neil. And it's a neat name. I actually had to ask him how to say the last part because I didn't want to mess that up. So I'm not going to deny that. But his artwork is amazing, and you guys get to watch it every day. And I'm super excited to talk to you about it. And BMX, you have this amazing group of friends that you know around the world because of being a fantastic artist on BMX Shark Art on Twitch, as well as in real life, such as shows like Sinbad and so on. And I'm even more lucky to have you like a sister that's able to be on my show all the time. And it's amazing because we both get to meet some pretty interesting people.
Yeah, but it's been awesome.
This guy is amazing.
Yes.
I mean,
you built me up too much. Come on.
Who doesn't love The Simpsons? You guys are.
I know.
I officially want to ask you, like, who's the time traveler? Like, who's traveling in time? Because I want to go.
Okay, this is where I have to exit, guys. I'll see you later.
I want to go.
Well, I could thank one of my followers, Action Monkey, for introducing me to I Draw Homer. I had started streaming, and he was just like a faithful follower. And he told me, I think I might have rated you. That's what happened. I was like, who should I rate? Like, I'm so new at Twitch. What do I do? And then he's like, you need to rate I Draw Homer. And then I started like hanging out in your stream and then noticed that you use Sketchbook Pro just like me.
Yeah.
And no one else used that. So
no,
that was pretty badass.
It's the weirdest thing. It's like it's such a good software. Nobody uses it.
But it's free. It's
BMX
free.
Swears by it. I've heard her say how many times she's loved that software. Like nobody's business.
Yeah. I mean, like I always finish and render and like shade in Photoshop, but I always do my sketches and line work, especially line work in Sketchbook.
It's like superior.
So good.
Wow. Man, so basically you rate it through a mutual friend and it just connected.
Yep.
You see, artists are like crowns. You do find your way back to the box somehow.
You do. Yeah. Well, I introduced Mike to the dream brush, remember?
Yeah.
I was like, I noticed the tool he was using and I'm like, oh my God, I got this sick tool you need to try out. And then I kind of showed him and then that was it. And then, you also stream what else besides you draw?
A lot of Sea of Thieves.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm super, like, I've been into pirates since I was, like, 4, when I first saw Peter Pan.
Yes.
So.
Bangarang. Really?
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the Disney animated Peter Pan.
Oh, like, yeah. I like all of them, though.
But, yeah, so growing up, Hook was my favorite movie because of pirates.
Freaking
then Goonies, of course. Like, all the classic pirate movies I've watched. You know, it's like I can puke, but
I love
I was 100%
Oh, yeah. You know,
it's a little biased that I play that game because I'm just partial to pirates. So anything pirate related, I'm in.
I think I have a third brother now.
I'm telling you. And who doesn't love Goonies?
Oh, I know. I know.
You know, so like, here's an amazing thing about you liking pirates. My good friend and neighbor was actually one of Mel Fisher's original divers. And I've held so much, I shouldn't say this, I've held so much treasure in my hand.
You've had pirate booty in your hands.
I literally behind me, I even have something special that he found. It was like a Indiana Jones thing. He was in South America and he's going through all the libraries, and the libraries down there, they have all the original books in the library. So he's going through them and he's going through this real big book and he starts seeing these notches. Well, maps have certain notches on it that mark where ships go down. And he was like, what's this? This is Dead Man's Island. And it looks like a dead guy laying there. And so he starts digging a little deeper. Like, what is this thing? So then he starts deciding, I'm going to get some people together. I think there's a ship there. And if it's there, this ship had silver bars on it. So he ends up renting like some gear. He ends up getting some locals with a small little boat. So he ends up going down. They end up tying a boat, like a rope to him, because the current in between the island and the mainland was really strong. He gets sucked out. Mm-hmm. So he dives. And right when he's about to call it, he finds what looks like in a distance, a stack of, he said it looked like a stack of bread loaves in a distance in mud. So he started going more towards it. And as he started clearing it, it was nothing but big, giant silver bars. And oh, he actually gave me a coin from one of those, from that collection.
That is so cool.
And it went down in like the 1500s. And I have it, and it's got the paper and all that. But I mean, I actually got to hold like real Natosha, like the Natosha, like top graded big coins that you can't even get your hands on.
No, it would be in a museum for sure.
Yeah, and he's also the one that found
Were they called doubloons or something like that? I think they were referred to as doubloons.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's funny how they grade them. Like they're like, I think a six is a six love or last six love, six something is how they scale them or something. But he's the one that found also the famous like 13-foot rosary made out of emeralds and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh, really?
It's insane. He showed me pictures and he's like, look at this. And he's holding, he's smiling. There's this big jar.
Like this, okay. Thinking, if someone takes that kind of treasure though, do they have full rights to it, or does like the government do, or like how does that work?
They actually both get a portion of it. So they get a portion of it. Like Mel Fisher obviously has his private collection down there and stuff like that. They would have never found it for them. Mm-hmm. But what's weird is that up till recently, some of the ships that are wrecked on the coast of the United States by like North Carolina and stuff like that, Spain and stuff has been claiming the rights to them, which is kind of weird because in the ocean, it's supposed to be anybody's game. Because technically, you're not going to find it if it wasn't for those people.
True.
So there's like
Spanish ships, though, right?
Yeah, they are. And where I live at, it's a lot of it. I mean, because I'm in the middle of Canaveral and St. Augustine. Mm-hmm. So we have nothing but shipwrecks everywhere. And there's been people walking down the beach and they find gold coins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. One person was at a jetty. And they found this weird thing shining in the water and they pull it up to look at it. It's an actual compass thing that they use to read maps. And it was solid gold with diamonds and emeralds in it. It was worth so much money. And they found it in the jetty,
just chilling.
Yeah.
Holy wow.
And
it would make sense for Florida to have it because like, you know, the Florida Keys, like there was a lot of traffic there.
Oh yeah,
main trade,
a lot of like
Caribbean area. Yeah,
Cuba. Oh yeah, it's insane. I wonder if I have that behind me. I'm gonna see if I can show you this.
That'd be kind of cool. That's cool. I have the same love for all that kind of. I was actually raised on a yacht in Long Beach Harbor.
Oh, so nice.
I've been like from the sea like since forever. Let's see if he's got this thing.
I want to actually share my setup with you on Discord.
Okay. I'd love to see that.
There's more pirate stuff, but that's what's in the shot at least.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I like mermaids and all. Like, I'm like one of those people.
Yeah, I'm not
gonna be the only ones, right?
Yeah. Oh, dude, what was it? I went on Ubisoft like before, and they have like a Black Flag beach towel that I want.
Do they really?
Bad. Oh, it is like it's like the Black Flag, like the Jolly Roger. It's just a black.
Did you play that game?
Yes, I played Black Flag. Yes.
Okay,
it was very good.
Have you guys played that new game? It's almost like Sea of Thieves, but it's a little different. It's very addicting. I probably shouldn't tell him this because Mike's probably not going to get any work done. It's called Sea of Kings.
I've heard of it. I have not played it.
Sea of Kings.
It is so addicting, and it's like it's kind of like a 2D, 3D game.
Okay.
But it's like a mini scale of Pirates of the Thieves, but you kind of do your own thing.
Is it just like sea battles?
Battles and quests, because what happens is basically your dad is like the king, and you're going on your first run with the Navy to just drop off some gunpowder somewhere. And as you go to do that, somebody puts a voodoo curse underneath the throne and kills your dad. And I think it's the Navy guys that did it, because they seem really suspicious, because they right away that you come back and they're like, you did it, and you're trying to prove your innocence. But rather than try to prove your innocence, as soon as you come back, they just start shooting at you with their Navy fleet, thinking they killed you, but you lived and you were saved by pirates, and now you're a pirate and you're trying to redeem your name.
Can you get this on Steam?
It is. It's actually, I think that's where I got it. I think that's where I got it. Was Steam. Sea of Kings.
I might have to start streaming a new game.
It's 100% fun. Like I went to just try it because they asked me to test the game out. They sent me a key to test it. Mm-hmm. So here I am testing this game, and 4 hours went by like that. And I was like, oh my God.
Let me write this down before.
I need oh my God. Well. I'm going to write it down.
What just happened in my life? And it's a lot of reading, you know, too, which is kind of cool. It has a subtitle that pop up.
Anything with like pirate lore. Like I read the book. Have you ever read Mutiny on the Bounty?
Mm-mm.
So they made a movie about it with Mel Gibson when he was like really young, but it's actually.
Oh, okay.
It's actually like. It's half truth, so it's like actual manuscripts from Captain Bligh and like that when they went to the Cook Islands, right, like Tahiti, and came across cannibals and everything, and there was like a mutiny on this ship, right? You can read the book. I highly recommend if I'm not reading fantasy, I'm reading Sea Voyage type. Like I love Master and Commander and like all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. I don't know why. My dad was in the U.S. Navy, so that probably has something to do with it. Like I like nautical stuff, you know.
I love the ocean.
So I'm up there with the whole pirate thing. And I'm Caribbean, so.
There you go. That's exactly it. You got salt water in your blood. Mm-hmm. Other people have what's called like blood planets, and you got like salt planets.
Yeah.
So I know for me, I love the water. I'm a Cancer symbol, so I'm a crab, 100%. 100%.
The screenshots of the game look amazing so far.
Isn't it cool? I mean, I'm telling you. And you get to upgrade your ship, your cannons. You get to use like special stuff. You have special like upgrades on your cannons or your cells. Like, thank God I had really fast cells, because they told me don't fire at a ship in port. And I was like, oh, I'll never do that. Right when I read it in stream, I pushed the wrong button. And I fired on a Navy ship in port. Like right after I read it, and I was like, what are the odds? I just upgraded my cells, and I was using my cells to get the hell out of there. I was like, go, little guy, go. You know, so yeah, but oh, and they have ghost ships. Ghost ships pop up out of nowhere.
Yep.
And
that's super cool.
I was almost attacked by a giant squid, and Like,
oh, they got monsters in it. That's
Kraken.
Is there Krakens and stuff in
Sea? Yeah, that's yes.
Yeah, okay. There's creatures.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of Sinbad.
So like, Sea of Thieves has megalodons.
What?
Ghost ships emerging out the water. Yeah. Krakens that can ruin your whole voyage.
I mean,
I've lost a whole day's worth of grinding and treasure finding to a Kraken before.
So I want to get your opinion. So did you like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies?
Yes.
Yes.
Kind of.
But which one did you didn't
It's not gritty enough. I like.
Oh, yeah. It's got that.
I like.
It, right.
I mean, I really like. What is it? Roman Polanski's Pirates. You seen that one with John Matthau?
No.
You haven't seen that?
I might have. What year? How old is
it? Oh, God. This is 60s or 70s.
No, I wouldn't have seen it.
I think I've seen that. Yeah.
Maybe it's it's almost it kind of sounds familiar. But
that movie.
Okay, I'll watch it for sure. I got to write it down. All this stuff, we got to pirate games and movies and stuff. We got to start talking about art here, man.
I know. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Look at see what happens when you chase the booty.
Yeah. I got a shirt upstairs. My son has a shirt and I made him wear it to school and it says, I did it all for the booty, and it's a skeleton sitting on a pirate treasure, and it's the best shirt ever.
Yeah, and then the teacher calls and says, "What is your son wearing to school?"
No one's noticed.
That's not what it is.
No one's noticed so far, so we're good. All right.
All right. So yes. Question.
First question. Okay, an artist to artist. My first question is because I know, people who enjoy art and cartoon-based art.
Mm-hmm.
What started this all for you? From a child, teenager? When did this all happen?
I was a child. I don't think I was even in kindergarten yet. I think it was the moment I found out that the cartoons I was watching were made by humans.
Mm-hmm.
That piqued my interest. And from then on, I knew that's what I wanted to do.
Yep.
I remember I was watching, I think it was Ninja Turtle cartoon in the 80s.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I was watching that cartoon, and then my dad was like, "Yeah, people draw these. This is made by people." I'm like, "What?" I guess I didn't grasp the concept of people drawing that. I thought they were just at that age, you think cartoons are real.
Yeah.
So when I found that, I was just like, "This is amazing!" And ever since then, I was interested in animation.
Were you already drawing? Did you start drawing it? Or you just had to... Oh, okay. So you were instantly...
I was always doodling, but I wasn't good. Yeah.
The Turtles was an amazing cartoon, first of all. Let's just talk about that. I was so addicted to it. And Michelangelo is part of the reason why a lot of us love pizza.
He was pretty much everyone's favorite.
I still haven't found pizza that looks that good, though.
No, me neither, but I do eat it off the floor since they ate it in the sewers. I figured it wouldn't be that bad.
I swear Shakey's pizza is probably the closest to it.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah, I just feel that Shakey's pizza is the closest to Ninja Turtle pizza. I don't know why.
I was always
greasiness.
I was amazed by how quick they ate it. I was like, man, I'm still chewing a slice.
They're just massive turtles, right?
Yeah, they are. They're master in their art form.
Yes, that's the earliest cartoon I can, besides Land Before Time.
Yeah, I would.
That was the earliest cartoon I can remember actually remembering watching as a kid.
Did you ever get to enjoy the series Thundercats at all?
Oh. That was before my time, I think.
Thundercats was another one with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles along the way those were the two, oh my God, with Transformers.
Yeah.
They were that was all I cared about.
Was that Funimation that did all that?
I think so. Yeah. Funimation did they did He-Man and stuff. For me, it was definitely He-Man and it was definitely Thundercats. So it was animals and role playing kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, I think Turtles was years after that stuff came out.
That would have been late 80s for Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, definitely late. It had to be 87 maybe, 88. Yeah.
I know because one of my directors actually worked on that series of Ninja Turtles. So it was one of those things where after I got the job and I was working with them and he said something about working on Ninja Turtles, I'm like, wait, you worked on the show I loved. That's kind of cool. I'm pretty sure you worked on it.
I wish I still had my VHS tapes of that.
Oh gosh, VHS.
I wonder if I still have. I have a ton of VHS tapes of like Disney and old cartoons. Yeah, I have them stored away, and they're gonna be a gold mine one day. Everybody,
do you guys remember these old cartoons like Maya the Bee?
Yes, yes. Like, well, that's Canadian though, isn't it?
Is it really?
Yeah, I never saw. I don't think I saw Maya the Bee in California.
I don't know what channel they used to be on, but I just like weird memories, like. Yeah. Of watching those shows, nobody remembers anymore.
Yeah, it would have been like for older shows, it would have been like The Littles. Remember The Littles?
No.
And then all the Disney afternoon stuff. So you had Tailspin, right. DuckTales.
Oh, man. That was the best.
That's 90s right there.
Yeah, that was sheer 90s.
Coming home smelling like, you know, armpits and some Reese's, hungry, grabbing food, sitting in front of the TV. Oh my God.
You get that couple of hours before you have to start your homework.
Yeah.
I didn't do homework.
I didn't either. Sorry. That was my homework.
Well, I was just trying to feel like a good student, but who am I fooling?
What was during that time, what was school like for you being an artist? Like, I know you as artists usually stand out.
I hated school. I hated it.
Yeah.
Creative minds.
I mean, I'm not trying to be an advocate for, you know, being at school, but it's like,
yeah.
For certain people, I think the social aspect is fine. Mm-hmm. But when you're just into art and that's what you want to do, like, it's almost like everything else doesn't matter.
Nope.
It's useless for you.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. As a animation, I think the only math I use is division, subtraction, and addition. That's all you need to know for animation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
That's life.
Yeah,
I use that to eat my pizza. I got four pieces left. If I eat one, I got three.
Isn't pizza fraction? Pizza would definitely be fractions.
Yeah.
Then I use division, deciding on how much I want to have for the next day.
let's see. Yeah. So, I mean, was it you weren't teased or anything like that in school, or was it like people went for you for art?
Yeah,
like,
so
can you draw this for me?
Actually, like, me and my best friend at the time, we were known as like the two artists, you know.
Oh, cool.
Very people
cool.
will always be like, can you draw me this? Can you draw me that? Can you draw me this? But not necessarily for their assignments, but just for like, you know, fun.
I had it for assignments. People would pay me to draw.
Oh, nice. See, I wish I was that smart.
Or they're just like, I'll do you a favor if you can draw this like cover for like if they had a, what is it, when you analyzed a book for school for, what is that?
See, English I had that in art school.
Oh, it was different. It was different.
So artists actually paid me to do their stuff in art school.
Oh, man.
Did you have opposition at home? Because I know like some of the older guys, artists, I know like it wasn't easy being an artist, what they were doing and having fathers.
I feel in that aspect, I was super lucky in having supportive parents. I mean, like they were for it. But they warned me about like, oh, it's hard to get a job. Like, it's really competitive. But they're like, if you're going to do it right. You know, go to school, get your degree and like know what you're doing. Even like it didn't work out that way for me, though. I got hired after high school.
Really? So you just.
Wow.
Wow. So you didn't go to school.
No, I did go to school later.
Later on. That's right. Yeah. You were telling me. Yeah.
So I started on the show in 2005 officially.
So you went straight from high school onto The Simpsons.
Well, technically, I was on an intern for a good 6-7 months.
Okay. Oh, and wow. Then,
yeah.
This dude's like a prodigy child.
I can't imagine learning to animate just like, here, we're going to grab you and make you learn how to animate.
Well, that's part of TV animation. It's not full animation. So we only did acting as in like keyframes and like breakdowns. Okay. We never actually did full-on animation.
Okay.
So by the time I was like done with my internship, because I drew The Simpsons like growing up, I was familiar with those characters. Mm-hmm. So by the time I finished my internship, I was pretty proficient at drawing the characters.
Yep.
So I had what it takes to get the look of the show. It was just training me in the technical aspect of their layouts.
Okay, I see. Like, I can see that if you already have the talent, you're already, because a lot of people don't realize, and we're still from an era where like you were doing traditional drawings. You weren't using Harmony or Flash or anything.
Right.
So back then, like for us, it was like you had to have drawing. You had to have major drawing skills. You had to like drawing, or you're gonna hate it.
Yeah.
You know. And the fact that they can take just talented teenagers at this point and just like, here. You know, and they were experienced enough to just handle you guys and train you, right?
Yeah.
They knew that that's all you wanted to do, right? It was the same with me when I went to school. But when I went to animation, like, I was just happier than a clam, just drawing 10 hours a day, right? Like, I loved it.
That is awesome.
I actually started interning on King of the Hill.
Oh, yeah.
It was all in the same studio. So our studio did Bobby's World. They did King of the Hill. They did obviously Simpsons. They had a few other like hit shows, Garfield, The Mask. Like this it was called Film Roman.
Yep, I know Film Roman.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think the King of the Hill guys hated me because I'm like, is there a way I can just go downstairs in The Simpsons? Because I didn't want to do anything on King of the Hill.
My
goal, I was set on Simpsons.
Yeah.
And like every time like they would send me, because the interns, they help out every show. Like they go to every production. And every time I got King of the Hill, I try to get out of it. I'm like, is there any way I could do The Simpsons need help? Can I go over there?
Man, he was like so determined. Nothing was stopping him.
Yeah.
I had tunnel visions like for The Simpsons.
He was like, no, he was
all
like
I'm that, doing.
He's like that famous song. I'm all the way out. You know, like, I mean, let's, okay, so you're a teenager, you graduate high school, you get an amazing internship in exactly what you love to draw.
Yeah.
Like, who does that happen to?
Well, okay, there was a lot of stars aligning there. So my best friend growing up from elementary to high school, well, we weren't that best friends in high school because, you know, your friends grow apart, they get interested in different things. This is the same guy that we were both the artists of our school. So his mom, this whole time, I didn't know she was the secretary for that studio.
What?
So she was like the main receptionist. And one day after school, like she picked us up and we just hung out there until, you know, my mom picked me up. So like, that's when I'm like, oh my God, this is where they make these cartoons. Like you told me your mom worked in like in animation, but this is like, so here's the kicker. Before that even, I was skateboarding around my apartment building. And just around the block, I passed by this building and I was like, wait a minute. Those are animation desks in the window. I peeked because they're like kind of like the way the car windows are where they're like blacked out a little bit. So I did one of these and I saw Simpson drawings. I was like, holy shit. Like, that's fucking Simpsons. Like I went nuts. Like you know when you just like go numb for a second? this was literally 70 steps from my apartment building. Like it was down the street. And I told my friend, I'm like, hey, your mom, you said she works. Like, is it right here? Like it's North Hollywood is where it was. He's like, yeah. I'm like, is there any way we can like go hang out there? So that's when we hung out after school and I got to meet some people.
That is so epic.
Just today. Yeah, before
I graduated, I kind of knew a couple of people there. And then I was like, hey, can I intern here? Like, I kind of lied about college credit. But I did what I had to do to get in.
He's like, if I draw really good, the lie sticks.
Yeah. So they thought I was getting college credit at the time, but I wasn't even going to college.
Wow. That is awesome. We hear some amazing stuff, but for real, the planets aligned and you came down from the heavens and you were like, I'm drawing Simpsons.
that's just
the fact that it happened to be the building down the block for me.
Exactly. Oh my God.
People don't know. Well, like this, I know that in town here, certain comic books are being made by DC, but you don't know where they are.
And the building looks so honest. There's nothing flashy about that building at all.
Yeah, they do.
It's a regular brown brick building. That's it.
They're notorious for doing that and not making it a big, like they'll have the main studio that's all super attractive where they eat Goldfish Bowl, and then they'll have like another chunk of studio somewhere where you're like, you don't even know where they are.
Right.
Yeah. That's quite common with animation.
That makes sense. I guess because you don't want everybody bugging the artists or bugging Yeah, sneaking things out.
Because people think, like, you know, they could just, since it's cartoons, it's like they're not doing anything important but making cartoons.
Right? I don't know. I had hair, and then I met, you know, BMX. Like, I met her whole, like, how she did the drawing thing. It stressed me out. All my hair fell out. She told me that she was doing 80 drawings, and I'm like, oh my God. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That would be part of my next question. It's like, what's been the hardest part? Because, like, I had my breaking point, and believe it or not, it was a Scooby-Doo cartoon, mm-hmm. or a Scooby-Doo commercial for Scooby Snacks. And it was like a side gig that was like not a 9-month production. It was just like, we need to do a commercial. So my boss is like, I'll do it and I'll take Nicole with me to do it. Right. And then it was like, I don't know how many frames of animation it was traditional, and it was thick and thin cleanup. So I was doing the cleanup and Marl was doing the animation part, and uh-huh. it was just us two. And it was like a stack of animation like this. And it was like the day I handed in, I think I broke at like 4 a.m. I'm like in tears, like, I can't do this. Have you ever been in a situation where you're just like, holy smokes, this is intense?
Yeah, those are, we have days like that, like if we're behind and like the animatics coming up, and we have to finish it at all costs because we can't, you know, tell the writers like, hey, we're a little behind.
No,
because that's going to look bad in the company, bad on our producers, bad on the director.
Yep.
And then bad on us, obviously.
Yeah, we called it dropping the bomb. Yeah, that's what we called it, dropping
the bomb. I remember one time I slept at the studio because we had to get an animatic out.
Yeah, I've done that before. I don't even think they're allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, and where you are, they allowed you to do that. But back in the day, there was not as much regulations, and we literally were sleeping in the studio.
Yeah, this was, 2000?
Like we could.
2004? That was still, like, the end of that, like, workhorse era.
it was, yeah, because I was in animation during that era for sure. So,
and here we are watching the episode, critiquing it, or saying, "Ah, that was okay. I didn't like that one. That one, oh, that was my favorite." Guys,
I love all the cancel the show already.
No
way, don't cancel. Simpsons are. It's like they are forever. They are just their life.
Yeah,
they're my life.
Well,
they're
life. The case is like most of those people grew up watching it, mm-hmm. but the show is not for them anymore, so they're mad.
Sounds like Star Wars.
The show has evolved. I mean, See, I'm the same way with Star Wars, so I can't hate them for having an opinion.
It sounds like Star Wars fans. I know.
Yeah.
But
there's a whole generation that's growing up loving these shows now. So,
oh yeah, and I think The Simpsons did such a good job relating to the times. I mean, they really like for real. Some of the stuff has been like crazy. How they, it's funny how, you know, parallel universes, things fall in line or happen, or just like where we're in today. Like you got Simpsons series of like blacking out the sun to something as goofy as Bart jumping, you know, what was that, like the Grand Canyon or whatever?
The gorge.
Yeah, the gorge. I mean, so like something as simple as that to something as technical as blacking out the sun, or the Ellen ones or the Halloween ones. I mean, I actually look forward to those special series now.
Yeah. I got to work on a couple of those.
Did you really?
It's like a lottery, basically. It's if you just happen to be on that crew that's on that rotation of that episode that year, you get to work on it.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, that's what we did. I mean, I personally still love The Simpsons. I love them. I actually had Bart shirts growing up. I drew Bart in classroom when I didn't pay attention.
'90s Bart shirts.
Yeah. Don't have a cow.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That was exactly it. And it was funny because my cousin Ruben, he basically was not allowed to watch The Simpsons because every time he watched The Simpsons, he'd go do something that Bart did. And what kind of made it bad was when he decided to play with some fireworks after seeing the Simpsons series, and he set the field on fire next to the house, almost burned down neighbor's house. So that was kind of like the draw. My aunt was like, "You're not allowed to watch Simpsons." And I'm like, I remember I was over his house. I was like, "Well, I got to go home."
See, I was that kid that wasn't allowed to watch it. So I'd go to my cousin's house and watch it.
You watch it?
I literally told my aunt, I gotta go. Bye, guys. He's like, you're not gonna stay and play. I can't. The Simpsons are coming on. You know, like,
oh. Yeah, most people don't remember back then it was on Thursdays. Thursday night thing.
It was a Thursday night. The first time I saw it was a Christmas special.
You could have recorded
it. I think it was like the first time I saw the Simpsons, it was like that. It was a Christmas one. And then that's when the designs were really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first real full episode.
Yeah, I remember.
Before that, it was just the Tracy Ullman shorts.
Yep.
That's what I watched. The original on TV.
I grew up with it. I love it.
Yeah. My other question would be did you have any other? Have you worked on anything else? I mean, obviously you worked on King of the Hill and the Max. Did you work on those as well? Because I was going to say, like, if you
King of the Hill, just interning, no credit.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I helped set up layouts, but no drawing. Okay.
Well, what I meant is like other cartoons, right? Because with animation, people kind of studio hop, right?
I did work in a special effects house and then some video games.
Okay, that's cool.
So that's after I left The Simpsons and.
Yeah, Hulu. So it's after.
2008 I left, and then a couple years I did just freelance art here and there.
Yeah,
but then I went back to school. I'm like, okay, this is the time to learn Maya and CG and do all that stuff. So after I went to Noman in Hollywood for 3 years, I got my degree there, and then I worked in Logan Studios, which they did like commercials, just random CG stuff. And then after that I worked for Counterpunch, which works with 2K. Mm-hmm. So I got to work on the NBA games. I got to work on Mafia 3, which was fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then after that
popular games.
Did you ever play Mafia 3?
Yep. And
I still haven't played it, 2K, but I feel like I know the whole game.
You just got hood cred right there, 2K.
Yeah, no kidding. Uvio had streamed that like not too long ago. I don't know if it was Mafia, but it was one of the Mafia games. It was really,
they're good.
Really good story. I like the story of those games. They're awesome.
I just recently streamed the first one. The first one they redid.
Yeah.
And it looks so good. This looks so much better. I mean, obviously that was like 20 years ago, that game.
Oh,
but
man.
Yeah, with the re-release was so good on that. And then with Mafia 3, our team was in charge of all the cutscenes. So I feel like working on those, I know the whole story, so I never played it.
So you had kind of like a reverse scenario where it's like you go from being high school, like right into The Simpsons, and then you get laid off, right? Which happens in normal animation. And then you go back, then you go to school to learn other things.
Well, I mean, I wasn't ready to take on Maya by myself because it was just so daunting. Like I opened it up a few times, so I'm just like, I made a ball bounce. I did the ball bounce animation. And I'm like, all right, I need some real training here. Like,
it's a super comp.
When did you, what made you, what year did you go back to Simpsons?
2012. It was hard to find a job. Like there was a job shortage. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I shouldn't call it a shortage because then they would need people. It was just really hard to get a job in storyboarding or, you know, like animation because nobody but The Simpsons were doing like traditional animation.
Oh, wait. Was this a time when all the Disney artists got laid off? Right around that time?
It was during the big writer's strike that was happening.
Okay. Yep.
I remember that.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Wow. Yeah. That was.
Yeah. Crazy. After that, I did like freelance character design, freelance illustrations for like little businesses here and there. But that wasn't enough. So I'm like, I need to go get back into animation somehow. So I'm like, Pixar. Like I got Simpsons. Let's see if I can get Pixar. But by the time like I was working up my 3D portfolio, Simpsons needed artists. And a good friend of mine called me. I was like, hey, we're looking for people. Like, would you be interested in coming back? I'm like, hell yeah. Like I'm down.
Oh, wow.
I miss drawing so much because Maya, you don't get to draw.
No, you don't.
They like for most things they give you reference, and these game developers, they don't understand animation. They're like, so if like a like your reference actor, he's like he has his mouth a little open in one frame. They're like, oh, your frame 623. The lip is a little lower. Can you fix that? I'm just like. They want you to follow reference to the pixel.
Holy
Which
smokes.
Is super annoying because they spent all this money on like face rig cams where it's like that you see the actor's face like acting. Like, no, this frame doesn't match. Or there was a shot where because we get the camera view rather than just our animation view. So we're seeing the shot in the cinematic and the character is like this small, like far away in the shot. And you can't see his mouth move. So I exaggerated the mouth to move bigger because so I could read or else.
It's an animation thing.
Yeah.
So it looked like it's got a dip in the lid.
My animation camera and not the cinematic camera. And like the mouth is way too big. It's you follow the reference. I'm just like, it's not going to be. Okay. That's when I gave up. I'm just like, you know what? You're not paying me to think. So I'll give you what you want.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Sometimes it's like that though. I know that. My husband's a 3D animator and it's the same thing. It's like, he'll make something look really good. And they're like, it's almost like, why does this look so good? We don't want it like that.
There was this one thing that I won't mention names on the show because I don't want to get in trouble, but I did something that I was really proud of. And then it got shot down because it was, oh God, if I tell you what it was, it's going to be too obvious. Let's just say it's something that was required to be a little flourishy and I did a really good job and then it was shot down because it was too much animation and then didn't match the style of the show. I'm like, yeah, but this is supposed to be like that. Like we're making fun of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, like I spent, okay, I'm not going to say because, well, let's just say it was like kind of Little Mermaid-y. That's all I'll say. but I spent so much like working on the arcs and like the little flourishes and like, I don't know. It got shot down. And then I saw the final that somebody else had fixed and it looked like cut and paste art.
How does that even happen? I don't even get that. Like how.
Yeah, I have no opinion about that right now.
I can see how.
I don't want to get laid or fired.
I think your way would have been cooler because when you're imagining a different state, it's almost like a different reality. So it would have. I could see your point clearly. But sometimes director, the term and title go well together. They only see one way.
right.
Yeah.
So, man.
And I mean, it depends on too, like, just people in certain positions, right? Like, it's almost like, this is what I'm here for. What do you want me to do? And then I do what you want. And then it's not what you want. And then
you always have to remember it's not your vision. That's the thing you have to remember.
Don't fall in love with anything
because it's not for you.
I usually tell that people for character design. It's like, you can't fall in love with your drawings. Like you can draw all this stuff and then take it to your director. And they're like, nope. So you have to be able to perform. It's not about like your feelings when you draw. Like if you want to worry about your feelings when you draw, you got to go to Artist Alley or something like that. or just DeviantArt or something, right? But if you're working professionally, like you have to be able to have that kind of critique. Right. Whether it's your animation, your cleanup, or whatever, right? And be like, okay, no, I will go fix that. And you can't be butthurt. You can't be hurt about it, you know?
I mean, I get stuff shot down all the time that I'm proud of. It's like, oh, like it's a real confidence kicker too. But you just have to remember it's not, you're making somebody else's vision come to life, not yours.
Mm-hmm. It's very true.
Man.
This is really cool information.
Bizarrely.
Just because I'm from California as well. And I always wondered like what my life would have been like animation wise, if I would have stayed in California, like I would.
You would have hated animation.
I would have been in prison.
I just know that there's like, I mean, is work hard to find in California for animation or is it like a bigger pool?
For what I do? Yes. Because everything is storyboarded now. And we are the last show that's actually doing layouts like they used to do like in the 80s.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Nobody else does layouts like this.
So you're saying that storyboard job is easier to find or?
In LA. Yeah. Like if you're not doing feature, well, even feature, I don't know if like it's done here anymore because now a lot of Canadian studios are actually handling the feature like Sony.
Yeah, my husband worked on a feature, and I know a lot of features are being done in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And I
think Hotel Transylvania was done there, right?
Yeah, it was. It was done at Sony. I got to tour that studio. It was so nice. It was so nice. But we were like, you know, we couldn't go to some areas because they're working on top secret stuff, right? They actually did Lucky 13 from Love, Death, and Robots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you remember that episode. Lee, have you seen Love, Death, and Robots?
I haven't seen the newer episodes. Some new ones got released.
Yeah, but
the first season,
The first season, yeah, Lucky 13, Sony did that. And it was nice because they had like the posters for it. So I thought that was pretty cool. That was one of my favorite episodes.
I'm like blown away because all right, because I'm from Cali too. It's obvious, right? But I'm just saying that because I can. But the reason that blows my mind and bringing this up is so much. We've talked to so many people so far in anime and drawing and stuff and all this stuff. Canada plays a major role in the art scene, like especially when it comes to television and gaming. Uh-huh. Like it's like for a while there, before I knew this, I always thought like, oh, they're outsourcing to like New York or Florida or maybe over in some Japan areas or somewhere in India. Like I just figured they're... No, I take that all back. Canada?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Disney still does Bangladesh.
Okay.
Like the Star Wars stuff, like the Clone Wars, that's all animated there.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is so phenomenal.
Our cleanup and in-betweens are done in Korea.
Wow. Like, that's crazy. When I worked on Sinbad, we did the cleanup in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And all of the movies, at least, I'm not sure about Prince of Egypt, but... Spirit, the horse one, and Road to El Dorado, and Sinbad, and maybe one more. They were all done in Vancouver. All the cleanup was done.
You worked in. Okay, so you did.
So I worked at Bardell in Vancouver, and we got all the animation. Like I had people's animation from DreamWorks LA.
Okay, so that's what you would have seen from my friend then, probably.
Okay. Yes.
I think he did work on Road to El Dorado.
I didn't work on that one.
Okay. He worked what was the Egyptian one? I'm sorry.
The Egyptian one was Prince of Egypt.
Yeah, he worked on Prince of Egypt.
Holy smokes, that's still such
a... You know, I still have Prince of Egypt. I actually have the dolls. The dolls. I have so many collectibles.
They had like Barbie-ish.
I have those DreamWorks.
Wow.
DreamWorks did it, right? Wasn't DreamWorks?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen those. I actually have them. I have him and her and kind of like my Voltron. My Voltron was DreamWorks special edition 2000 Voltron. If you guys don't
Voltron
know,
with
don't, like, don't talk Moses Power Rangers to me. Cabinet. But yeah, that was DreamWorks from 2018. They only made 3,000 of those. And I found that by accident. I found that by walking in a mall by a comic book store. So I got lucky. I stole it.
All right. Okay.
I didn't steal it literally. I mean, I got a good price. Let me rephrase that.
All right. My next questions would be, I mean, these are I'm definitely going to show this podcast and send it to my coordinator for my school, right? Because... You know, we always like good content from actual animators, you know, like what's really
out there. It's still weird considering myself even an animator because I still don't feel like I am.
That's because
I look at my heroes and be like, oh, I'm not that good. I can't consider myself an animator.
That was my question. Who is your hero? Like, who is your
good question? There you go.
Yeah.
I did my research, looking at all the I'm a big Looney Tunes fan. So I looked at all the ones that I love the animation on, and obviously this is way before my time, but Ken Harris is the one, one name that showed up every time there was something I liked. Mm-hmm. So Ken Harris was, I guess, my inspiration for animation.
I love hearing that. it always starts with something. And for me, as a kid, it was Chuck Jones, right? So I just liked his style of art.
Well, they worked together.
Oh, that's right. They did. Oh my gosh.
Did you say Chuck Jones?
Yeah, Chuck
Jones. He had a certain style for his Looney Tunes. Like you'll see specific cartoons.
More angular.
Yeah, they're more angular. They're not your typical, like rubbery. Bugs Bunny was more. Yeah, Bugs Bunny wasn't as rubbery and I don't know, smooth. He was more like rougher and angular. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like Chuck Jones style.
For Daffy Duck, which is my favorite character.
Yeah.
I always like Bob Clampett's version.
Yep.
I like the super wacky, like screaming.
Yeah. he had no, that was the Daffy Duck that had like no common sense.
Right.
Like, super wacky. Like people don't remember the phases of Daffy unless you really, really analyze cartoons. Like it's the same. Yeah.
Yeah. By the end, he was like a evil, jealous, like.
Yeah, I know.
He was like a villain almost.
He was like a villain before he was just cuckoo, right?
Yeah. He was like the duck version of Bugs Bunny, just causing trouble.
Yes. The duck version.
Bugs Bunny was really smart.
Yeah.
He was just always ahead of the game.
Yeah. Daffy was the same way, but he used it to mess with people.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's still my favorite scene in Who Framed Roger Rabbit was the gold shot for me of Daffy.
Oh, the piano scene.
That was probably like, because I love Donald Duck is my favorite, like that Disney cast, and having them together in one shot was just.
Daffy Duck was gold. Like the low-key of Looney Tunes.
Yeah,
he was Loki. He
totally was.
Did you have a favorite series that you would watch?
Me?
Yeah. Ooh.
A series that I would watch. For example,
mine was like the Goofy Sports. Like, you know,
yes, mine was all the Chip and Dale ones.
Okay.
Yeah, so I like all the Chip and Dale, not Rescue Rangers, although I love that too, right? But
right.
For the old classic, it was, yeah, I love the goofy ones, but I like all the mischief that these chipmunks would get into, and the usually ones with Donald, much to his...
the goofy surfing is my favorite one.
Oh, yes, that one, and the skiing is mine.
Yeah.
I love
goofy. Pronounced skiing.
Goofy falling, him yelling.
Yeah.
Everything about that...
It's just, I used to have that button as a sample.
It's like
bring it back.
It is like
screaming.
Yeah.
Well, I still I even have I have Woody Woodpecker on one of my buttons, and because I grew up with Woody as well, and I liked Woody, and till this day, you know, every time I say I see a woodpecker, I have woodpeckers that come to the bird feeder, and that's the first thing I think of. I don't even think about the bird.
I think my favorite short of that was the one with the cop. We were just messing with the cop, but the speeder.
Yep.
Your speeder. Yeah. Like, would a speeder do this?
I feel that Walter Lantz's stuff is like underappreciated.
Yeah.
Like in this day and age. And I always try to emphasize that in school, like that kind of wacky kind of animation, which it was not like Ren and Stimpy. It was its own entity. And you know, the movie The Mask with Jim Carrey really gravitated towards that style of cartoons.
Right.
So even though I can tell that Walter Lantz cartoons they're a bit more on the budget side, but they still work. Right. They were still entertaining enough. So
did you happen to catch the newest Looney Tunes stuff that came out in the last 2 years?
Yes. Just a bit of it.
It, like the dynamite dance, a couple of my friends worked on it.
Really?
It looks like the old style. Literally went back to the basic. Yeah.
Okay, you're gonna have to DM me this because
let me do that now before I forget. But it was it was all storyboarded, and they added a lot of keyframes, and then it was animated overseas. But they did such a good job. It's all on ones.
All on ones?
Yeah,
oh, it's all on ones. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I did watch this.
Dynamite Dance.
Yeah. I know. I need to check out the new Animaniacs. Like, I haven't checked that out yet.
I watched this by accident. I remember I was switching, like, just looking around at stuff, and I happened to come across this, and I was like, I never seen this. And then I realized that it wasn't even from my time. I was like, oh, that's
yeah, it's brand new here.
I didn't know that until I watched it. Because, I mean, I watched... I probably watch every single episode there ever was of Looney Tunes. That would explain my craziness.
Yeah, no, I ate that stuff up. Every ounce of like cartoon, anything, I just ate up. There was also, I liked all the obscure stuff. Like I think Chuck Jones, have you ever seen an old French cartoon with cats called Gay Paris?
Mm-mm.
It's old. Like anything that was, non-mainstream, I would always seem to find these cartoons. And like when I kind of mention these cartoons to people over the years, they're like, what are you talking about? I'll link this cartoon, but it was definitely like Chuck Jones style.
What was,
Chuck Jones,
the three sisters, that one French one of Belarus or something like that?
Yes, Belarus. Yeah.
That one is awesome. Like the animation style in that is amazing.
Do you go to, have you attended, not obviously during COVID, but did you ever attend like animation film festivals? Like,
no.
No?
Those I never did. Really I was so like, I was, I guess, jaded after work every time. So like every time like I was home, it was just like, I don't want anything to do with work, anything to do with animation.
Yeah.
Like, no, if I was younger, then I was like, I was all into it. But now it's just like work is work.
Film festivals. Yeah. We would enjoy going to those where people would just, like in Canada, have their own, whatever cartoon they made in their basement, and they would pitch it to like for a contest. Right. And so we had this thing, it was called Spike and Mike's Festival of Animation. And it was usually pretty like crude adult based stuff, but we'd watch it in this like old, like musty theater, like a theater probably from like the 60s or something that still had just one cinema. The curtains at the front and had that old feel. The chairs were just like almost falling apart. And they'd always host it in this place every year. As animation students, we'd watch it and we'd just like absolutely love it. We just ate up animation.
I love the old movie theaters, like especially down in like Huntington Beach and stuff. I remember going to like a movie theater. It might have been in Carlsbad or somewhere around there, by a racetrack, maybe even San Diego. But we went to this movie theater. It was really old school with the beautiful big like red curtains and stuff. And it looked like it looked like literally like a Warner Brothers production or something, you know.
Like out of Who Framed Roger
Rabbit, right? And that's exactly what it was. Mind reader. It was Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and who would ever forget Jessica Simpson? What was it? Jessica Rabbit. Jessica Rabbit. Which is the Jessica Simpson of the day. That's why I keep telling everybody. Everybody's like, well, what do you mean Jessica Simpson? I'm like, you guys know Jessica Simpson, but back in the day, it was Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah.
But it's funny because you see the generation today that's actually cosplaying Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the most popular cosplays.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's up there with Slave Leia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jessica Rabbit is up there.
It is. And,
for cosplay competitions.
There's that. What was the other one going? Oh, the mystery van and Scooby Doo and all them. I mean, you know, Delma and all that. So, I watched a lot of Scooby Doo when I was growing up too. That was another one that I liked. I always liked that seeing them get the ghosts, which weren't ghosts.
Oh, yeah. That one, I like Scooby-Doo, but it wasn't as entertaining for me as like Looney Tunes and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I think I was really more into anything more fantasy. So I liked more animals and role-playing kind of stuff. Right. So that's why I enjoyed Thundercats and Transformers and stuff. But when it got too many humans in it, I was like, I'm still like that. Like I won't play any kind of first person shooter that takes place today. It's got to be like Destiny or like Red Dead Redemption. Like it's got to be an era I don't live in.
As a kid, for some reason, like the John Bluth films didn't sit well with me. They were like a little dark.
They were dark, actually.
So like as a kid, I was like, I don't like this.
I got a video series that you would absolutely love that talks and breaks down like the time Don Bluth and Disney were all, they took their animators and they took their animators. Uh-huh. And it's really, really good. Like, 8-minute video on the history of like what actually happened. But there was a time where Don Bluth was on the rise and Disney's like, we got to do something about this. We just can't let them do this.
Do you remember Little Nemo?
Yep.
Little Nemo.
Yeah.
No.
I think it was the Bluth film.
Oh, yes. I know.
Don Bluth. I'm sorry. I said John Bluth.
Don Bluth. Yeah. I mean, I like the fact that his stuff was darker, like Secret of Nim.
Yeah, as a kid, I didn't like
it. Like, really? How old were you though?
I was probably like 10.
I was just like,
I don't know, it just didn't sit well. So automatically, my mom was like, "All right, I don't like this guy's films. But as an adult animator, I have a different appreciation for them now. Like now, mm-hmm. I like them. But as a kid, I didn't like them.
I didn't like them either. I gotta agree.
I love them. I loved them. The Secret of Nim is my favorite. I don't think I saw that one. Have you not ever seen The Secret of Nim?
It's kind of.
I don't think so.
It's kind of dark.
What?
It's kind of dark. God. I'm just gonna say.
It's based off a book series of The Rats of Nim, right? Yep. So these are from books. These aren't like, I mean, of course, Disney's are from books or from fables and stuff, right? But the animation.
It's on a very serious
note. Like, if there's like a cartoon where you say, like, what is your favorite animated character? Not character as in like you like the character like Donald Duck, but character mm-hmm. animated in a movie. And for me, it's Jeremy from Secret of Nim is probably, for its time, was like the best animation.
I lied, by the way. It's 1992, so I was 7.
1992. Okay, yeah, I got some years on you. So I was like 12 in 1992.
Yeah, Little Nemo, Adventures in Slumberland.
I don't know if I saw that one, and I don't think I liked that one.
Yeah, that one was just like, it didn't sit well with me as a kid.
No, I didn't like that one either. So
maybe because it had too much of a weird adult feel to it rather than a child type atmosphere, you know. I mean, Looney Tunes, it just always seemed like something, you're always captivated by it because something mm-hmm. actiony was going to happen. Something, mm-hmm. you know, they were going to, something funny or stolen or taken or, you know, but those.
What about Space?
Yeah.
What about Space Jam? What do you guys like think of Space Jam?
I liked it as a kid, not as an adult.
I agree. I watched it because of
my friend actually worked on it, who is an animator for The Simpsons now. Yeah.
Oh, really? I got this crazy story because you guys remember Osmosis Jones, right?
Yeah.
And that was the animation of Osmosis was crazy. And I had rented it because there's some older cartoons that my sons haven't seen yet because of the era, right? So we watched Osmosis Jones, and then you know, in that movie, Bill Murray gets really, really sick because it's like the organisms in his body are what's animated. So it's like mm-hmm. Space Jam, it's live action. And I guess I end up finding out, like, my younger son, I was like, what were you doing up late last night, like in 2 a.m.? And he's like, well, I was throwing up. And I was like, why were you throwing up? And he's like, because he got so sick of Bill Murray getting sequentially sick in that movie because Bill Murray looked like crap at the end of that movie, right? And before he got better, I guess. And I think the slowly like degrading of Bill Murray made my son so sick that he ended up throwing up at the end of the night. And it's just like, what? So I mean, they did a good job, right? But Bill Murray just looked like just a wreck throughout the whole film, right? And you're just like making it up with the crisp animation. But it wasn't a popular movie. So for movies that are like 2D with live action, it was like, it's still Roger Rabbit kind of takes the cake.
Yeah, definitely. Although Back in Action was pretty good. The Looney Tunes Back in Action.
That was is that the one with Brendan Fraser?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Like the integration was really well done for that one.
I can't imagine. I would like to pick apart someone's brain on just doing 2D with live action how hard that would probably be.
I mean, back then they would have to print out every frame, I think, because you're drawing over it.
Yep. And then incorporating, oh gosh, it just seems like, I mean, they're coming out with another Space Jam, but it's obviously 3D, right?
Yeah. So.
I mean, now you could just get like a image sequence and put it into Harmony and animate on top of that. Easy.
Yeah, but before it wasn't.
Yeah, so before you would have to print out the black and white images.
That's and crazy.
Between every that film is crazy. Frame was your drawing. So it's like film frame, animation drawing. Film frame, animation drawing.
See, people don't realize that the art, the history, it's slowly changing. Would you say it's, in a way, some of these old art forms are dying out, or they'll still be a part of the industry down the road?
I think they're still there, but they've just been improved by technology. Mm-hmm. But the fundamental of all those like traditional methods are still there. We just have different tools.
Makes sense. I can see that.
Yep. Things are done a bit faster now, but
yeah.
people are still getting, I feel that because we have technology to excel this, then the quota just gets thicker.
Yeah.
you guys have a workload today. And movies, it seems like movies, even animation movies, are getting longer. TV series, Star Wars series, cartoon series were short back in the day. Today, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the demand is insane. They want more. Especially look at what happened with the clones. They were like, no, you can't be done yet. And obviously they weren't. So, oh, man.
All right. Well, my next question is rolling into Twitch. How did you have friends that did this, or like what got you into streaming?
So
this is a good, I mean, not everyone could do this too, right? Like
the game that got me into Twitch was, I'm a big Friday the 13th fan.
So
when the game came out, I was interested in it. So I'm like, I want to see this before I buy it. And then, so I clicked on to Twitch to watch people play. Cause I've heard of Twitch at that point, but I've never really.
How long, when was this? Like what year?
This was end of 2017 or mid 2017. I didn't start streaming it then.
No.
So I just started watching and I'm like, man, people really do this. It wasn't until COVID hit where I'm just like, you know what? I game a lot.
Yep.
I draw a lot on my free time. So I'm like, why don't I just not be alone while I do this?
It's like an art jam, right? Like,
yeah.
It's so like a home drink and draw.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to do this anyway. So if I could just like chat with people and, you know, not be completely alone, I'll just do that.
I would have thought you would have been streaming for a long time.
So I did do a couple attempts and I maybe like 3 or 4 times in 2017. Mm-hmm. And like, I didn't know anything about like marketing at that time or like how to market myself. So I would get like 1 viewer, 2 viewers if I was lucky.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I started making more friends where they're like, hey, next time you're live, let me know. I'll shoot you a host or something like that. And then that's when I started slowly building like the same, like 2 people would come in. And then the same like 5 people would come in. And then like, you know, you build a little small community. My community is still small, which I kind of prefer it that way. Because I see some of these like huge streamers and nothing against them. But like they don't have time to talk to and answer questions from everybody. Like I like the fact that I can read my chat. Like it goes pretty slow. Yeah, I have time to like interact and like talk to people and like answer their questions.
Yeah, that's too hard.
It's a little more personal, I feel like.
Do you get a lot of people asking you animation based questions or people are just there to hang out?
Funny enough, I get the same questions every time by someone that's so like, who's your favorite to draw? I think I've gotten who's your favorite to draw every day. Every time I've streamed art.
Really?
Yeah.
Obviously from different people though, right?
Yeah. Different people, but it's always that's like the number one.
Remind me to ask him, go in his chat and say, who is not your favorite to draw?
Yeah. Oh, easy. Mo. I hate drawing Mo.
Mo, I love it.
He's just so ugly to draw.
Oh,
there's nothing pleasing about his design.
That is true. I can agree there. Like one thing, that's, designer.
That's one of the principles of animation is drawing appeal.
Right.
Yeah, I know. And that's why as a designer, I have a hard time when I see certain designs and I'm like who
like when we get new characters all the time that are like, you know, one-offs. Mm-hmm. But when I see the design, I'm like, oh, like I have to animate that. It's like, I don't want to do that.
Have you ever heard of the show, like a pilot show called Spyberbia?
No.
I worked on that pilot and it was through Fox. And that would have been like, it would have been like 2009.
Okay.
Like back then or whatever, right? It never made it to the, like they want to make another series, but it had that kind of all American dad look, that kind of design, right? Mm-hmm. And I've never done styles like that before. And I found it challenging.
Yeah.
Because I had to draw so simple.
See, Simpsons ruined me now. Because of their designs, like it's hard for me to go back to my style is more like so like Bruce Timm.
Yes, I know. Yeah,
I love
Bruce Timm cartoons. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that kind of style, that like Jim Lee comic book style, like 90s.
Yes. X-Men. Yes. Yeah,
that's what I grew up drawing.
Yes. That's the same as my husband too. We had, I have so much Jim Lee in a box. and McFarlane, like, as well.
Like being on the show as long as I've had, I feel like I forgot everything. Like my muscle memory is gone for those type of drawings. Like everything's like tubes and circles for me now. Like it's super, like,
well, people don't realize,
like, simplified.
People don't realize too that I understand a part where it's like you're in the industry and you're now just performing, and yeah, it killed my creativity for a long time.
Yeah.
If someone was to say draw a raccoon, I could probably draw 20 different types of raccoons, but I couldn't draw a raccoon for myself. Uh-huh. Right. Like it was just hard. And to have that kind of inspiration and, you know, the whimsicalness and the stories and like what you just come up with. Right. And I totally get that. Yeah.
It's like if someone's like asked me to draw something my own style now,
yeah,
it's just a mix mash of like that kind of comic book style and like super simplified like Simpsons cartoon style. So it looks like, I'm trying to think of like what it can compare to, like almost like a Hanna-Barbera type of style.
Okay, I think I see that. I've seen some of your stuff that's non-sim, but you've been doing some digital paintings as well, right?
Yeah.
And
I try to do more realistic designs with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that stuff, and that doesn't have any, I can tell it has no Simpsons flair at all. Like,
right.
that is your style so far. But I've been there with that, where trying to find your style because you've been drawing for something else or someone else for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I always encourage people to just make sure that at the end of the day, I always did a drawing, do a drawing for yourself at the end of your workday.
Uh-huh.
So that's in your little sketchbook or whatever.
Yeah, you got to have fun doing what you mm-hmm. love. And I think maybe that's also why you enjoy streaming, because at the end of the day, when you're streaming, you get to kind of do what you want. You know, off the record and do that. Maybe one of your streams to test yourself is you go back and be like, let me draw some of these old cartoon stuff in stream. See if that muscle memory's still there. You never know.
You do some Looney Tunes in your stream.
Yeah, right.
Oh. Well, actually, my friend Herman would judge me, and I'm not ready for that.
Does he come in and watch your streams?
No, but he sees almost everything I post, like on socials, and he's like, yeah, it's not on model. Like, especially when it comes to, like, hell, he's giving me shit, obviously, but like anything that has to do with Looney Tunes, because that's where he started.
Oh, gotcha. Oh,
man. So he'll give me the business for that.
Oh, that's brutal.
But yeah, like Bruce Timm is a huge inspiration to me too. Like that kind of style.
I got to be at a con with that guy.
Oh, he goes to my comic shop. I see him.
Does he?
Every Wednesday.
I worked on the Zeta project. Remember that? It was an old Warner Brothers cartoon. And it was in the Bruce Timm style. I was a cleanup artist for that.
Well, his style is based off of... Now I'm not going to remember his name.
It's not Shane Glines, is it?
No. It's, it's almost like the same style Venture Brothers is based off of, too.
Is this from a comic book?
This guy was like 50s, 60s artist, I think.
I think I know who you're talking about. I don't know him by name, but I have an idea of what.
What was that one? Was it Ghost something? He had like a talk show kind of thing, like a superhero. Kind of like the Harvey Birdman style. I don't want to look this up now.
It's going to bother me.
Space Ghost. Well, okay, Space Ghost.
Space Ghost. Art. No, I haven't heard of that.
It would be Bruce, Alex Toth. There we go. That's what I'm thinking of.
His Bruce Timm style, you're saying, is based off of that look.
Alex Toth. That, I see a lot of that in Bruce Timm's work.
Yeah, that guy would be at Comic-Cons, and he wouldn't have a portfolio or anything. He would just have a Sharpie and a stack of just like white computer paper.
Uh-huh.
And all he would do is just be drawing Batman, Harlequin, Joker, like,
so that's Alex Toth, what I just sent you right now.
Oh yeah.
So this is where Bruce Timm kind of got his inspiration from.
Yeah. That was like the old Batman Beyond cartoons. That was, I love that show.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the one I believe that Mark Hamill did the voice of the Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
People, I think it's always funny when people get surprised and they're like, wait a minute, he was the Joker?
I never knew at the time that was Mark Hamill. So I found that like way later kid, on.
I had no idea.
No. So how is like for Twitch, like was it a bit of a learning curve, like everything? Like,
I'm still learning stuff and like OBS and
what kind of thing. What would you say is one of your struggles going into your animation to streaming? You're streaming. What are one of your struggles with streaming right now that you would want to implement?
Main struggle is hitting that live button.
Hitting that live button.
It's like I sit down. Okay, so I'm done with work. I sit down at my desk. I'm just like, okay, do I do this or do I go relax and watch TV?
Right.
That's like, the same with
usually, TV. Usually I'd be like, all right, I want to eat some dinner. I relax, watch some TV. And the next thing you know, it's like, I wake up on the couch and it's like 1 a.m.
Well, that didn't happen tonight.
But it's hard to find the motivation. Like once I'm live and people start like, you know, trickling in, I'm going, I can go on forever.
Right.
But it's just that initial like setting up and, you know, getting mentally ready to go live is what I find the trouble with, because like I'm on the computer all day. It's like, do I really want to be on the computer all night too?
It's true. Uvio has the same struggle because he's an animator, and it's the same when he started streaming. He streams a game as well.